Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 2th of March, Anno Domini 2019, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 7 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes. Don't get the blues. Here comes the news, assuming I can get my fingers to work and pick up the piece of paper. Yep, there we go. The U.S. Senate Commerce Committee wants explanations from Google CEO Sundar Pichai about a recent controversy at Nest, the smart home device company Google owns. Last week, the search giant drew criticism because its Nest Secure Hub, a web-connected home security system, includes a microphone. But it was never disclosed in the hardware specs, marketing materials, or on Nest's website. The microphone's existence became apparent after Google announced earlier this month that it was bringing its assistant software to the Nest Secure. The assistant, which lets people check flight information or turn off lights in their houses, relies heavily on voice commands and a microphone when it's on devices without screens. Well, even when it's on devices without screens, it needs a microphone. At the time, Google said it was an error that the microphone was omitted from product specs. The company also said the mic has never been activated. But that has not satisfied committee members who wrote a letter to Pichai demanding more information. The letter demands Pichai follow up with the committee by March 12th. The committee also wants an in-person briefing on the issue by March 29th. The controversy comes as Google and the rest of Silicon Valley deal with broader scrutiny over privacy and data collection. Google has gotten blowback from lawmakers and the public for its use of data location on its Android phones, as well as the access it gives third-party software makers to read people's emails on Gmail. Nest has suffered another privacy controversy recently. Last month, a hacker infiltrated the Nest Cam security camera of a San Francisco Bay Area family by using a password obtained from a third-party breach. So when you use the same password on two different sites, this is what happens. The hacker convinced the family that the U.S. was under nuclear attack from North Korea. In December, another hacker took over the camera of a man in Arizona to warn him of security vulnerabilities. In another case that month, a hacker told a couple through the device that he kidnapped their child. So these devices need to be a little bit, I think, more secure than they are today. But our poll of the week really has to do more with the microphone. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Google Nest has a hidden microphone, and your choices are, I don't care, Google already knows it all. Not surprised, but not bothered. I'd be worried if I owned a Nest, and I knew it, Google is evil. So far we have 28 votes, and I'd be worried if I owned a Nest is the number one, followed distantly by I knew it, Google is evil. Now, I know you're going to have more to say about this, so if you scroll down on the right, under Fascinating Stuff, you will see the forums. The second forum down is the poll discussion, and currently at least the number one item under poll discussion is, to March 19, Google Nest has a hidden microphone, and you can say whatever you like in there, try to keep it a little bit clean, and of course you can keep it completely clean and give us a call here, 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, toll free 1-800-790-0415. You know, voluntarily, for years, we have carried devices around that can listen into us.
Track us wherever we go.
Right, track us wherever we go, do all of that stuff. And now we're just bringing more of those things into our homes, and we're surprised when people actually use them to breach our privacy. What do you expect when you bring a camera and a microphone into your home that is connected to the internet?
That it's going
to
do.
You have to assume that at some point it is possible for someone to hack it. And then you get all surprised. Oh, my goodness. Oh, somebody actually hacked into my house. Oh, You brought the thing in. It's not like somebody held a gun into your head and then screwed a camera into the wall and left.
And you can't really call it a hack when you leave the default password or you reuse passwords.
Well, that's just
they
it.
Didn't have to hack, or they call you and say, "Give us access," and you do.
And you do.
Yeah,
that's all entirely on you. Yep. We've said it before. Do not reuse passwords. Oh, but I can't think of another password. Yes, you can. You're not stupid. You're just lazy.
If you can't do that, then you don't need to have that system in your house.
That's exactly right.
You're too dumb to even use it in your house. Hello, you can even tape the password to the bottom part of the unit.
Right, because if somebody gets into your house, you got more problems. But still, the idea is you really have to be aware that any device you have is subject to hacking. I don't care if it's an Apple device, a Windows device, a Linux device, an Android device. That doesn't mean that they're easy to hack or that they will be hacked, but they are subject to it. So learn to pay attention. You know, people, and of course, you don't even have to hack anymore. People get messages all the time that say, "Oh, I hacked into your camera and I saw what you did last week." Well, what did you do last week? I sat in front of my computer watching YouTube videos and I may have scratched myself. I don't know. What could you have seen? Go ahead. Post all that. I don't care. But everybody's got a secret.
Yeah.
You know, the fact is everybody's got a secret, and it's easy to blackmail somebody.
And I don't necessarily, how was it worded? It's not necessarily a bad secret, but there's some things just other people don't need to watch me doing.
TMI.
That's right.
Yeah. There was a report a couple of weeks ago, actually a couple of months ago now, early January, that Ring, which is a very popular video doorbell company, when they were in 2016, when they were training their object recognition, they subcontracted a company apparently in Ukraine to manually tag all of the objects so that it learns what objects are. And the story was that the Ring video was stored on an Amazon S3 bucket.
Sure.
Which the company was given access to.
Of course it was.
And so with the Ring system, you can voluntarily share video.
Right.
But all the video that it takes that you have stored at Amazon, apparently at the time was accessible to somebody else.
So great.
Since Amazon bought Ring last year, they have taken more security steps to prevent that from happening. They did say that the live stream was never accessible to a third party, but that almost doesn't matter.
So
if the stored video was
right, who are they lying to?
Yeah.
Now, on the one hand, if that's just video of my front door,
but they also sell indoor security cameras for part. And the story was for the it was reported in The Information and The Intercept. That engineers were able to watch people in their house kissing, firing guns, stealing. I don't know what they tagged as stealing. your kid sneaks into the bedroom and pulls your wallet out. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Or you know, the maid or the plumber or the whatever. Right.
Yeah.
Yep. And so a lot of people have security cameras to stop such things, and they think only they're watching, or if you have a commercial service doing your security, they're watching.
Yeah, they are.
And
that's their job.
That's their job is to watch. And just remember there's cameras there.
Right. At any rate, pay a little attention to, you know, what you've got. You know, there's cameras on your tablets and your laptops and your phones and your desktops and your name it. And everything's got a camera and a microphone nowadays. All right, to the phones. Our first caller is David from Rochester, New York. Hiya, David. What's up?
Good morning, gentlemen. I appreciate the opportunity to ask a question. I'm having a problem with my fan. It doesn't function. And what happens is in the morning, the laptop runs for a while, and then it shuts off probably because of its own
overheats, you know, yeah,
thermal overload protection. And then it takes a couple hours to cool down, and then it'll work. So the computer works fine. It's a nice computer. Looks good. But I'm wondering, is it worth replacing the fan, or do I just have to bite the bullet and buy a new one? It's an HP Pavilion G7 2022.
Sometimes you can take like compressed gas or a vacuum cleaner and suck the dirt out of the vents, and that may be stopping the fan from cooling sufficiently without needing to tear the computer apart and replace the fan.
Oh.
And that may do it. You want to be careful of doing that, because there is that often a vacuum will create static. And so that's a problem if you're inside the machine, but from the outside, it shouldn't be an issue. The other thing is, is this laptop mostly essentially a desktop, or you carry it around a lot?
Move it around in the house from room to room. So it moves around.
Okay.
Not outside.
There are pads you can buy.
I'm using one.
He's using one that are thermal pads, and they suck the heat out of the machine.
There are passive pads that are just filled with a gel that pulls the heat out. And there are active pads that actually have a fan in them, and you plug them into your USB port and do active cooling to help pull the heat out.
So basically that could prevent the internal thermal overload from shutting off the computer then?
Yeah. Well, it depends, but yes, it certainly would make it last longer.
But you definitely want to try to see if that fan is all clogged up with dust and, you know.
Do you have pets by any chance?
No pets.
But dust and dirt can get into it.
Right. Do you smoke?
No.
Okay. Then it's probably just dust and dirt.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it should be doable. Now there are thermal pads you can buy, as Steve said, that have fans in them or just a gel, they sell them for Macs a lot because a lot of Macs don't have fans in them, and so they can overheat. And having a thermal pad underneath it will help keep it cool. So certainly one of those will, at the very least, make the system last longer before it overheats. But it is very possible that it will simply prevent it from overheating at all.
But like Steve was saying, though, if you take the vacuum cleaner to it, what I would do is turn the vacuum cleaner on and you touch the case, you know, sort of ground yourself before going to actually apply the vacuum cleaner, you know, nozzle to the fan unit. You can see usually the fan when you flip the laptop over where the fan is. And like I say, kind of ground yourself.
Or the vents on the back.
Yeah. And just use that vacuum cleaner to kind of suck out any dirt or dust.
Okay. What if it turns out that, you know, it's defective? What about replacing it? Is it worth paying to have it replaced or whatever?
It depends on how easy it is to get to the unit. Sometimes if they can unscrew, you know, the bottom of it and get access to the bottom and not have to tear the whole computer apart, replacing the fan usually isn't an issue.
Right. The fan itself is cheap. It comes with the wires. You just have to plug it in. The question is getting to the fan and the laptop.
Is it an easy access, or do I have to strip the whole computer, you know, the whole laptop down, take the motherboard out, flip it upside down? Right. You know,
there could be a lot. At any rate, look, for the thermal pad, if you were to go on to your favorite home delivery purchase site, and look for laptop cooling pads. There's an entire section of them, anywhere from $10 to $15. So you should be able to find something in there that fits both your budget and your laptop.
Okay. Very good. Appreciate the help. Thank you, gentlemen.
Sure.
My son took his laptop apart. So it was a Toshiba. and reapplied the thermal paste between the CPU and the heatsink.
Yeah.
Dropped his temperature 10 degrees.
Yep.
And raised his video, gaming clocks by like 10 frames per second.
Yep.
So heat can really do a number on computers.
That's nice.
Yep. So that was kind of a nice little added bonus to it.
Yep.
And even over time, the thermal paste, we call it thermal paste. It's a heat conductive material that goes between the CPU and the heat sink to help draw the heat away.
Right.
That can get dry and brittle. And replacing that can often help cool the computer. But that is something for a more experienced electronics technician to get in there to actually pull the CPU out. That's right. Often a lot trickier than.
And also, if you can see that your fan's not moving, fix that first.
Yeah.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Andy from Rochester, New York. Hi, Andy. What's up?
Hey, Nick. Now that I'm feeling suitably paranoid about all the cameras that are looking at me.
There you go. Comb your hair, Andy.
Any of those things. Hello, are you still there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Chromebook question.
Yeah.
Most recent update, I installed it. It went in instantly like it always does. Used to be when I'd open up, before the update, I'd open the screen, I'd get a white screen, Google logo on it. I'd think about it for a few seconds, it's going to be my login screen. Now I open the lid, and I get 20 seconds plus of black screen.
Huh.
Then the white screen comes up for a few seconds. It goes black again, and then it gives me the login screen. Process takes 30 seconds. Which feels like forever on this thing because I've always just opened it up and gotten, almost instantaneous response.
Sure, of course. And I'm still seeing that on mine, so I'm not sure what you're looking at. It could be a hardware issue.
Okay.
It could certainly be a bad update, and you could do that. You could fix that by doing a power wash. And then, of course, when you log in, everything will come back. So that's not a big deal. Just make sure that any files you have on the drive itself are saved somewhere else because it will also wipe the drive.
Okay.
So maybe it's a driver issue from the update.
What about like your apps that are installed and everything? Or does it reload those? No, it reloads those. I remember that now. Okay,
Never mind. Yeah, for everybody else, normally when you reinstall the operating system, you, of course, now have to go back and reinstall all your software. On a Chromebook, as long as you use the same username and password, your same Google Gmail account, essentially, and as long as you have set it up to save everything on Google's site, which is the default, when you wipe your machine out and then sign back in again with the same username and password, it'll download all the same apps and all the same everything again that you had before. That also works if you buy a new Chromebook. You just log in with the same username and password and down comes all your same stuff. So you don't have the pain that you do on a Windows or a Mac machine or a Linux machine where you have to reload everything yourself. But resetting it to factory settings is called power washing, and it's in the settings menu. Steve's putting up a link for it anyway.
Along that same line, I called a couple weeks ago about trying to get the Google Photos logo into my launcher area.
Yeah.
Finally, I was on my smaller unit. And I was sitting at my son's house babysitting, so I said, "Well, it's not. I can't drag it. Let's just install it." So I went up. I opened the launcher. I went to the store, and I said, "Okay, give me Photos, Google Photos." And up came the logo I wanted. I said, "Install it." 2 seconds later, it was installed.
Yeah, there you go.
I went home that night and opened up my bigger unit. I have a 13 and a 15. I opened up the 15 because I don't usually take that with me. And lo and behold, there it was.
Yep. That's the way it'll work.
Yeah. Problem solved.
Problem solved.
And this is now the first of the second of the month.
Yeah.
So this coming Thursday is the Rochester Googles meeting.
Yep. We're at St. John's Meadow, and it'll be another meeting where we sit around and chit-chat about the The wonderful things you can do in Google.
Yeah. So, anybody who'd like to come is welcome. And
7 p.m.?
7 until 9. Yeah.
Perfect.
And it's usually a very informative evening.
Yep.
So,
thank you
for your help. I'll do a power wash and see if that fixes it.
Let us know. Thanks.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
But for heaven's sakes, don't use water.
when they say power wash, they're not talking about the hose.
Yeah, don't take it to your
stick
local
your
drive-thru.
And stick your thumb over the end and give it a good...
spraying it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll kind of...
Yeah, that is a lovely thing about the Chromebook. I have to admit, I was very annoyed with my Linux box today. Normally, Linux and Chrome work very similarly. When you do an update, you just keep working. It just happens in the background, and there's never a problem. Unfortunately, this time I actually updated the Google Chrome browser, which is what I had been working in. So I did have to shut that down. And I thought, well, I've actually now been inconvenienced by a Linux update. Okay, for about 30 seconds. But I was mildly inconvenienced.
Life's a beach.
It is. And then you tan.
Mm-hmm.
So with a Chromebook, booting up should take about 6 to 8 seconds normally before you get to the login screen, and then about another 2 seconds after you type in your password to come up. And if you do buy a new machine and log in with the same username and password, it depends on how fast your connection is, your internet connection, because stuff is all coming down from the web. But within a minute or two, it'll look just like your old machine. You're done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And power washing does essentially the same thing. It turns it into a brand new Chromebook, completely unused.
Yeah,
and,
like the day you literally got it out of the box.
Right. And that means you may need to do another update. But Chromebooks are just like any other device. You know, they have hardware issues as well. And it is possible that Andy's machine has a hardware issue with the drive. They are solid state drives, so that's unlikely, but it's not impossible.
Anything's possible.
Right.
I mean, you know.
Hardware dies. That's rule number one. Hardware dies.
And I don't care if it's brand new or it's, you know, 10 years old.
That's exactly right.
At the worst moment.
At the worst moment.
It knows.
That's rule number two.
Yeah.
So it is possible that some piece of hardware is dying. That is absolutely possible. It is also possible that he just got a bad install. Power washing will fix that. So once he does the power wash, he'll know one way or the other whether it's a dying hard drive or was just a bad install. I mean, that, you know, that can happen. Stuff is coming off the web, and so you know if there's a glitch in the download from anywhere along the line, there you go. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Meenick, Francesco, and you. It's 29 minutes after the hour. It's Sound Bites. It's member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Sound Bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 36 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. And you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free at 1-800-790-0415, just like Ken did from Webster, New York. Hi, Ken, what's up?
How you doing?
Good, how are you?
Fair to Middleton. What's on my mind, these are two subjects I want to raise that you talked about last week.
Okay.
And one of them was almost at the end of your show. The subject was continued support for Windows 7.
Yeah.
Well, even if I wanted it, from the information I've obtained, it wouldn't be available to me.
No, it wouldn't.
This is what I read from Microsoft back in September.
Right.
Only available for Enterprise and Pro.
Anybody who's paying for it. So if you really wanted to pay for it.
No, thank you.
Well, exactly. But if you wanted to pay for it, you could have it.
Okay. Another thing you talked about, and I wanted to share this with a good friend of mine that used to live here in Webster, now in Georgia. He's a computer guy. The issue you were talking about, and I'm not going to be able to frame it in the way you talked about it, but I'm going to give you enough information, you're going to know what I was talking about. You were talking about how Microsoft interfaces with us. In other words, when the machine was built, let's call it frequency.
Mm-hmm.
Frequency 1 and frequency 2. And from what I remember, it's going to be changed to frequency 2. Can you expand on that and who's going to be affected?
Well, I'm not entirely sure what you're talking about, but here's the deal.
And wait a minute. I think it's in how you don't do what you're supposed to do to be on frequency 2, you're not going to get any updates.
Oh, yeah, well, okay. So here's the deal. What Microsoft is doing in general is changing entirely the way they do support.
Right.
And the way they're doing that is the reason they're doing that, part of the reason is that too many people are still on Windows 7.
Yes.
And they don't like it. They don't like it for a lot of reasons. One of them is monetary, but others are security reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to hit you in your wallet if you don't move to Windows 10.
Yes.
And now they've done the wallet thing and people still aren't moving, so now they're going to hit you in the security.
Especially since Windows 10 was a free upgrade for, what, 2 years?
2 years.
Yeah.
So what they're doing now is they're saying, we are done supporting Windows 7 in any way, including security.
Gotcha.
If you want to keep using Windows 7, knock yourself out, but it's the Wild West.
Okay.
When they find exploits, too dang bad, we're not fixing them. When they find ways to get into it, you're on your own.
Right.
If you want to stay in the past, stay in the past, and that's it, and they're done.
And they did give you 10 years of support on Windows 7.
Yeah, they did. You can't argue with that. So as of the 1st of January next year, no, 14th of January.
Which is next year. Wow.
Next year. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. 14th of January next year. No more support for Windows 7 at all in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I think I misread what you said. I figured that if you wanted continued support on Windows 7, you were willing to pay for it. I think it was, what, $350 for...
Well, that's what they're charging for enterprises. I don't know if they offer that as a one-off. In other words, it's $350 a machine, but I think there's a minimum number of machines you have to pay for.
Okay.
I think. I mean, I didn't pay that much attention to that because I'm not going to pay it under any circumstances.
So the bottom
anyway.
Line is there's no support for home anyhow.
Right. Windows 7 is done.
Okay.
If you're going to stay on Windows 7, it's the Wild West. Get over it.
So anybody on Windows 7 is only going to get some support up until January.
Right, and then you're done. And the support is getting less and less on that as well.
All right.
They are going to be continuing to support. They've actually added support for enterprise users, but not for home users. So they have something called ATP, which is Advanced Threat Protection.
Mm-hmm.
And you can pay for that in an enterprise, but you're not going to get that at home.
One other thing, maybe I misread Dave Enright some months back.
Well, we all do.
Okay. But here's what he said, which is what I plan to do. I got two Windows 7 machines in the house. I got an XP machine that still works. I got a Chromebook and a Chrome box.
Mm-hmm.
What I plan to do, I don't want to jump into Windows 10 either.
Okay.
But on all three of those machines that I just told you about, I have Digital Image Pro. And I know you've talked about this subject where people, they're used to what they have and they don't want to look at anything else. I use Digital Image Pro daily, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm into photography big time.
Mm-hmm.
So what I plan to do is that if there's things I want to get off the internet, I'll get those off and I'll put them on my Chromebox.
Okay.
And if there are pictures I want to play with, I'll just transfer those to my Windows machines.
And hope that there's no virus in them. And hope there's no virus embedded in those pictures.
I'm not worried about that.
Well, you should be, but okay.
No, no, I've and you know, another thing I've really surprised about.
What?
How long it's taken Microsoft to pull the bunny out of the hat. It seems like you've been talking for 2 years that they're going to charge for Windows 10. When are they going to start charging people?
Well, no, people have been asking me this, and we never said Windows is going to charge for Windows 10 because we don't know that for a fact. They have talked about it in their calls to investors. They do, every company that's publicly traded has to do at least one yearly call in which they talk to investors about the future.
Okay.
And for the last 2 years, they have said that that is their future plan. But they haven't made a timeline.
Because the investors want to know, how is Microsoft going to keep making money so the investments get better?
Right. And Microsoft has said for 2 years that they are going to charge for Windows.
I can't wait for them to do it, because sitting with the Chromebox and the Chromebook, I'm going to be laughing my ass off.
Well, that's just it. And the other thing is, they've already started... They've already started charging for Windows Office 365, which is their online Office suite.
Correct.
But they still sell that as a single purchase, perpetual license, they call it. You pay once and that's it. However, they are adding features to the Office 365 version that are not in the standalone version. And so they are pushing people into the subscription version. Now, Adobe did that, 5 years ago now?
Right.
They canceled the Adobe Creative Suite that millions of creative publishers used and went to Creative Cloud subscription only and upset a lot of people. So what you end up doing is, if there's a program you like that doesn't work on the new OS, you end up keeping the old OS, keeping that computer alive, unplug it from the internet, never let it touch the internet, because any vulnerability that comes out, we often hear when Microsoft does announce their patches, you know, the Patch Tuesday, this affects Windows 10, Windows 7, and Windows 8, and Windows 95, and Windows XP.
Right,
and,
right.
But they never say that, because it's an inherent Windows issue.
Because it's the same code,
yeah,
all the way back to the beginning, and they don't want to mention that. Because basically underneath, it's the same Windows you've had since Windows 95.
Yeah, well, I only got several more months with the Windows 7 machine to do with the meager updates that they send me. In fact, I just did one the other day. There was only 3 updates I did.
Right.
I've never done a Microsoft Office because that doesn't appeal to me at all. So
right.
I've never done one ever.
Right, but Microsoft for the last couple of years has tried to do that delicate balancing act of being a little bit pregnant.
Okay.
You know, and the fact is, at some point, you're going to start the show, and it's going to be time for them to defecate or discommode. It's going to be time for them to decide whether or not they need to actually get out there and start charging people or give up on the entire idea.
Yeah, I see. I thought it was going to happen just like a RG&E bill. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, that's the other choice, right?
Right.
Right now they're sneaking into it, and the other choice is to just... And Apple has done that, 3 times so far? Where they've just said, you know what, everything you know is wrong, and here's the new way. And right. If you don't like the new way, oh well.
Stick with the old way, yeah.
Oh well.
And Apple has made all their OS upgrades free, so each new OS is free. So there's pressure, and then Linux is free, and Chrome is free. There's pressure from all the other OSs against Microsoft in that.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't, right now, they don't realize they're already paying for Windows. When you buy the computer, you paid for the license that is on that computer. And so Microsoft is now wanting you to pay directly to them so they don't have to split it with their partners.
Right.
So the partners are going to get upset, too.
Right.
Spoken like a good old Apple guy.
Yeah.
But he's right. I mean, this is Microsoft's problem is that they own 90%+ of the market. How do you grow when you already own 90%+ of the market?
And how do you keep making money?
Yeah, and the only thing the stock market wants is growth.
Right.
They don't
right.
care what your revenue was. They want to make sure the revenue growed over last year.
Right.
Last quarter, even.
Last quarter. And that's the problem. Their investors are not interested in how much money Apple, Google, what's the name? Microsoft is making. what they want to know is how much more money they're going to make next quarter.
Yeah, well, look at what happened to Oprah. At least on paper, she lost, I think it was $32 million because... what was that entity? Weight Watchers isn't doing so good.
Yeah, and that's part of the problem. If the thing you've been doing all the time isn't bringing in more and more and more and more money, your investors are going to be unhappy with you.
Absolutely. Well, gentlemen, you did a good job answering that question for me.
Thanks, Ken.
I appreciate it.
Have fun.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, it's Microsoft is in a very tough position, and I get that. But that's also why a lot of people are moving to Chrome, and why a lot of people are moving to Macs, and why a lot of people are moving to Linux. When you can get a different operating system or a free operating system, it certainly is more attractive than paying a monthly fee to Microsoft.
And if you're going to have to learn something new in the new OS anyway, you might as well switch to a free OS.
That's exactly right. All right, to the phones. Our next caller is Linda from Greece, New York. Hi, Linda.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Peachy, how are you?
Good. I love my Mac.
Good.
I was listening to that guy. I love my Mac.
Good for you.
I mean, okay, I got a question. Wireless internet without a landline phone. I'm finding that I don't, since my mother's been dead, I don't use my landline phone, and Frontier is charging me $72 a month. How do I get wireless internet without a landline?
Well, are you dialing up now, or are you going through Frontier?
Say that one more time.
How do you get to the internet now?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
Well, you need some sort of internet service provider, whether that's Frontier or Time Warner.
Time Warner.
Okay, then you don't need a phone. If your internet is coming through Time Warner,
yeah,
then the only thing you're getting from Frontier is your phone.
Exactly.
If the only thing you're getting is your phone, you can tell Frontier you don't want a phone anymore.
And it shouldn't be $72 a month for just phone service.
Yeah, I would really take a close look at my bill. If you're paying $72 a month, I wonder, something more on there than
DSL.
Yeah, I wonder if when you switched to Roadrunner, they Frontier didn't stop charging you for their internet service.
Yeah,
well, DSL service. I was paying $48 a month. But now it's 72, and I don't understand why all of a sudden it went from 48 to 72.
Yeah, you need to have someone look at your bill and see what's on it.
Yeah,
but in the bottom line is you don't need Frontier at all because you've got
Spectrum
internet. And even if you wanted the landline, you could use Spectrum as your telephone service. But most people are now using cell phones.
That's as I said. I only kept my landline because my mother was alive.
Yeah. The other advantage of a landline is that it's powered by the phone system. So when there's a power failure, a landline will still work.
Yeah, but my landlines are cordless.
Yeah. So I have one corded phone. It was like $10 at box store.
Yeah. Well, I've got a corded phone too. So should I call? Another question. Should I call Frontier and tell them I want the basic landline phone?
If you want to keep your landline number, yes. But if you don't need your landline number or you don't worry about losing connectivity if there's a blackout, then you could probably, I mean, their cheap, Frontier's cheap plan is like $20 a month.
And that's including internet. I'm looking for a telephone-only plan.
Yeah, there's got to be something.
I know. I looked on the website too, and I found packages, but I did not find just. Well, I've just got phone now, but I remember many years ago that my mother only paid $30 a month.
Sure.
But I told them that's what I wanted to, but they're, excuse me for saying it, they're screwing me, I think.
Well, I would give them a call and tell them either you get what you want or you're going to cancel it altogether. If you're getting your internet through Time Warner, then you do not need Frontier unless you want to keep a landline. And if they're not going to give you a landline at the price you want, why keep it?
Yeah. So
it looks like their phone only plans start at $20 a month.
Okay. Yeah, because I am telling my friends, call me on my cell phone, because I don't know about you guys, But when I'm away from the house, I do not want someone to call me and say, you know, oh, I tried to get a hold of you, but you weren't home. So I'm giving everybody my cell phone number now.
Sure.
Nick, do you have a landline?
No, not anymore.
Okay, but just, okay.
We used to, and we realized that, you know, we hadn't gotten a call on our landline.
That wasn't junk.
That wasn't a junk call. In a very long time. And the few, very few people who did call us, we said, here's our cell numbers. Call us there. Because at the time, certainly before I retired, we were never home.
Well, yeah. Okay. I've got another question.
Yeah.
Okay. I am, what am I trying to say? I'm 71 years old and I've got health problems. The only thing I'm worried about is, see, I've got 5 extensions in my house where wherever I am in the bathroom or anything, there's a phone.
Yep.
That's what I'm worried about.
Well, I worry about the same thing, and that's why I carry my phone with me everywhere.
Okay.
My cell phone.
Yeah.
No matter what room of the house I'm in, and I mean no matter what room of the house I'm in, that phone is with me.
Yeah. And so you can probably cut down to the Frontier. The voice only. You don't need internet. You don't need long distance even.
Right.
And you should be able to get that a landline, you know, down into the, you know, $20, maybe $30 a month.
Assuming you still feel the need for a landline.
Yeah. Being able to carry that phone with you, you got to get into the habit of clipping the cordless phone onto your belt or something.
Yeah. Steve, I love my Mac. I don't know why I never got one before.
Inertia.
Huh?
Yeah, it's inertia. We're used to the other thing, so
yeah,
that's what we get.
I was listening to that guy who's got all the windows. You know, I looked at it. I had Windows 7, and I heard you say something about, and I thought to myself, I very seldom ever get on my computer anymore. And so I got a good deal from, I forgot what it was. Yeah, I think I told you guys. Alexa just went on.
Yeah.
So I got it. I got a $4,000 computer for, I think it was $800.
Nice.
Yeah. But I've just got to learn how to use it now.
Right. Well, it takes time, but you'll get it. It just takes a little while.
Yeah. So I just called Frontier because I thought to myself, well, is Frontier connected to anything else? Okay, but because I have Time Warner internet and cable, Frontier is only the phone. Okay, see, I didn't understand that. I thought to myself, "Well, I'm going to be losing my internet," so I'm not.
No, but just make sure that you're getting, you know, look at your cable bill. If you're paying for internet on cable, and,
oh yeah, I am.
Okay,
yeah.
Then you don't need the phone at all.
And especially if you're still paying for internet from Frontier, cancel that.
Absolutely.
I've never had internet from Frontier.
Well,
I've
if you're paying $72 a month, you're paying something.
Order.
Yeah, but if you're paying $72 a month for your phone, you're paying for something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
I bet she's still got the DSL charges.
It may be. I would, at the very least, call them up and tell them all you want is a basic landline phone.
And give them the, I'm old, I'm on a fixed income, I don't have much money, and see what they can do for you.
And tell them your alternative is to cancel entirely.
Yeah. I've got an Apple Watch, so if anything ever happens, I can always use that.
Oh, yeah.
I can always say call 911 if I ever needed that.
Exactly. Yep. So, you know, you don't, and that's always on you, and if you're carrying your phone around, you know, I'm mostly, in the winter at least, dressed in sweats, so the phone is always in my pocket.
Yeah.
You know, I don't worry about that anymore. I'm actually closer to my phone than if I had 5 extensions in my house.
Yeah. Well, I've got, I know why I didn't do it. I have Doyle Security, the little thing that goes around your...
I was just thinking that. The other thing, a lot of security systems need to have a landline.
No, I don't. I pay more because I've got one with a GPS on it now.
Yep. Some of the security systems now will put their own separate cell phone in so that when the bad guys cut your phone lines, the alarm still works.
Yeah. See, I'm looking at it right now, and I'm charging it.
Yeah, listen, Linda, what you need to do is to call the security company and find out if you need a phone line with them.
Okay.
Then either get rid of your Frontier phone line entirely or drop it down to the basic.
Okay. Yeah. I'm gonna call Doyle. I don't think I have it because I have a GPS. The one I had before was just in the home and
yeah.
Even the home. But now I've got one. It's GPS and it goes with me everywhere. So I don't think I have it connected to my landline anymore.
Yeah, I don't think you need it either. But check to be sure.
Yeah.
And then when get your little ducks in a row and then you can do what you need to do with Frontier. Okay.
Yeah, thank you very much, guys.
Thanks, Linda.
Bye.
Yeah, it gets when you get that age, it gets hard to understand all the nuances, and I understand that. But you just need to take it one step at a time. Get someone to help you with your bill, and you may need to pay them, and that's fair. But the point is that you can do that, and find out what you're paying for and what you actually need. And then go from there. And that's true for all of us. You know, if you're paying for stuff that you don't need anymore, get rid of it.
Yeah, people complain how high their bills are getting, but they never look at them to see, you know, that DVR that I had replaced because it was broken. I'm still paying for that.
Right. Are you playing the music? I can't hear it.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know how much time we've got left, but that's it for the end of the... That's the end of the first hour. We're... thank you for all those who called in. We got another hour coming up, so don't go away. We'll be back with a whole lot more of Dave Enright, way too much of Steve Ray, not enough of Nick Francesco, and you. It is 59 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest running computer show in the known universe. That's right. It's Soundbites right here on the Truly Great, and truly grateful to you that we can continue to be member supported Jazz 90.1. Take a quick bio break and we'll be back on the other side. See you then.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester. A public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
Online at jazz901.org.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And it's 6 minutes after the hour. You're hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's Soundbites right here on the Truly Great. And truly grateful to you that we are member-supported Jazz 90.1. Before we go back to the phones, you can, of course, give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll-free at 1-800-790-0415. That number in Bayonne, 1-800-790-0415. And that brings us to our next caller, who's Walter from Greece, New York. Hi, Walter. What's up?
Hi there, gentlemen. I just heard Linda talking about her Frontier problems with the landline.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering, what came to mind immediately is why she didn't kind of turn to Spectrum for their VoIP service, you know, the voice over internet protocol system,
right.
Or even go get an independent one like UMA, Magic Jack.
Well, there are a couple of reasons not to do that. One is, she really doesn't need a landline anymore.
Right.
The second is it may be that her security system will not work over a VoIP phone.
Okay.
But oftentimes, it's just, as I mentioned, inertia. You think of Frontier as the phone company and Spectrum as the TV company.
Right. And it is certainly, there are legitimate reasons to maintain a landline, but we're not sure that Linda has a legitimate reason to need it.
Well, we have Frontier for both phone and DSL.
Sure.
And we're running into like what Lindex had. We used to have a few incentives to stay with them, and they've disappeared, and they're just not giving us any lower
sure.
costs.
Sure.
They're very picky. So we thought what we would do is maintain the DSL because we like the idea. It's still independently powered, like you were saying.
Right.
That we have the DSL, but then we turn to a VoIP, such as UMA or Vonage or so. But then we were doing more research. It's like you're getting into a bigger headache because you have to discontinue the... You have to get a whole brand new phone number because you need to go into what I guess is called a dry loop DSL.
Right.
Yeah, getting DSL without a phone from the same company is sometimes tricky.
Yes, very tricky. And from what I'm reading at some of them, they say it's dangerous because you can go ahead and cause a fire with your VoIP device.
It is not impossible that that could happen, yes.
Yeah, so we're kind of caught in a dilemma until we hope that Greenlight is finally making its way into our section of Greece.
They're working on it. If you're following them on Facebook, you'll see that they're opening up Greece and working hard every single day to get it going.
Yeah, so that's what we're thinking of, that if we can get the green light, then maybe we can head into the whole VoIP issue. Does anybody have any comment to make about any VoIP service?
Well, most of the companies offer VoIP, so Spectrum has VoIP.
Right.
Frontier actually sells VoIP now, too. They call it's digital phone. That's part of their digital phone package. I'm not sure if they, maybe that's why I couldn't find the prices for telephone only, because they don't offer analog POTS anymore.
They may not.
But the FCC has also made it easier to port your phone number.
Right.
So the other big thing of resistance to change your phone company is losing your phone number. Well, now you can move that phone number that you've had for 20 years to a new service and keep the number with you, too.
Yeah, that's the only other headache that there is that you read that there everybody's saying it takes a minimum of a week to perhaps up to 2.5 weeks that you're caught with their new phone number. So anybody else trying to call you, well, you're out of luck. You've got to contact them with the new number until you finally get your
number ported over. If you do a little planning ahead of time, 2 weeks before you get the new phone service, ask for the porting so that by the time the number is released, that's when you actually do your shift.
Yeah.
One of the problems with the all-in-one bundle package, like I have from Spectrum, is that when cable goes down, I lose television, internet, and phone. And
So
that's another reason some people like splitting up those services from different companies.
Yeah, that's why, as I said, the DSL makes it good because we have a generator for the home, so our devices will be all powered up with electricity, and we'd then be independent with... The DSL line coming in being its own power.
Right. Yep. And unless the DSL line itself goes down, you're good.
Right, exactly. But it's, like you said, a backup that there is.
Right.
Okay. Do you know of anybody who can comment about the VoIP? Like I say, the quality of it, the reliability, et cetera? Anybody can you say anything?
Well, in general, it certainly depends on who you're calling and when and where, of course.
Yeah.
Because you're on the internet now, and whatever's in between you and them is really what rules. But I've been doing a lot of VoIP stuff. I've also been doing a lot of video calling, and 99. Of course, I'm on Greenlight, so I have a very fast and solid connection. But it's been very clean and very usable. And no problems whatsoever. Again, it depends a lot on who you're calling and the speed and quality of your line. You may get a little bit of echo, depending on what's between you and them, certainly you can get dropouts and stuff like that. But they're much rarer than they were when VoIP first started.
And several of the magazines have done VoIP comparisons of all the different VoIP services.
Right.
I'm always wary of the one that says top five blanks.
But if you do a...
Digital Trends,
PC Magazine is one that I generally trust, and they've got a list of the best VoIP providers.
And some of them you never heard of before.
Right, they aren't around here.
Well, because PC Magazine is the one I've relied on for a lot of stuff because they don't have an axe to grind with any particular, you know, company that they're supporting or anything else. They're very impartial.
And a lot of the VoIP services, in fact, that's what I'm finding here at the PC Mag article, are business tiered. So a lot of the VoIP systems have now started going in and targeting business users because you might have 10 or 20 or 30 phones in the business. And so the companies pay by the line and by the handset to use VoIP services. So that's where the money is.
Right. But in general, most of them are pretty clean. And if you look at something like the PC Magazine list, you'll find that the top half dozen are all pretty darn good. The quality of the sound is also pretty good. But in general, they're all pretty good. I mean, I don't know what else I can tell you about it. Any individual call can be better or worse, but that's true on a landline, and it's also true on a cell phone.
Right.
But so, in general, they're all pretty good at this point. And anybody listening, if you've had a good or a bad experience with VoIP, please call in and let us know. It's something, you know, that crowdsourcing is the best way to find that stuff out.
Excellent. Well, yeah. You've been very, very helpful, gentlemen. I appreciate it, and have a marvelous weekend.
You too. Thanks for calling, Walter.
You're welcome.
When you do something like Skype or Google Allo, well, which that's going away, but Google Duo or Hangouts or, you know, any of that stuff, that's essentially VoIP.
And what I'm probably guessing is that so many residential customers have just switched to cell phone only, that residential phone service is kind of dying off. So all the VoIP services have to switch to business phone because that's where the money is, because there aren't many customers doing residential anymore.
That's exactly right. And we're, you know, you can buy a Google Fi phone, right?
Yep.
And that is strictly VoIP. I mean, that's all VoIP.
Got most cell phones these days, you know, I think, was it 4G was the first? That was basically VoIP.
Yeah.
Your voice is transferring over digital IP instead of over, you know, analog, what we would typically think of voice.
So probably your cell phone is doing VoIP anyway.
Yeah.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Sherry from Rochester, New York. Hi, Sherry, what's up?
Hi, I have a question about my notebook, HP notebook battery. It won't charge beyond 89%. I'm not sure what's going on. It seems like it happened after that last Windows update in January.
Mm-hmm.
And I went into, I have an HP Advisor program on the notebook.
Sure.
And it checked the battery, and it's, I don't know, it said something weird that I can't remember. And then, I don't know, I did something else and went in and checked it again, and I don't know, that. I haven't had the machine that long, like September 2017. I bought it new.
Well, a couple of years. Here, we said this earlier in the show, hardware dies. And it can die anywhere from right out of the box to 10 years down the road.
Okay.
So it is not impossible that your battery needs to be replaced. The other part of the problem, of course, is you bought your laptop in 2017. Who knows when HP bought that battery? Right? Could have been sitting in a warehouse for 4 years.
So just sitting on the shelf, it's losing power?
Oh, sure.
Oh, okay.
Oh, sure. And as they get older, they don't necessarily charge quite as well. Also, if you tend to leave your battery, your notebook plugged in all the time, the battery gets, I hate to anthropomorphize it, but the battery gets used to being plugged in, and therefore gets lazy and won't charge all the way.
So every now and then, it's a good idea to let it discharge completely. In fact, we call that battery conditioning. So you might want to try that. Run it on battery until you get down to the 1 or 2% where it starts warning you that, you know, I'm really low now, and then let it charge overnight. And that may recondition it to know how much capacity it's supposed to have.
You may need to do that a couple of times, but that may help. If it doesn't, you can buy a new battery.
No. Well, check the warranty on the device.
Well, right.
If you got a 2-year warranty, then you still might be covered.
No, the warranty's up, and it's not a replace. You know, I can't replace the battery. It's solid.
An internal battery, a lot of companies call that.
Yeah. But you can try reconditioning it, as Steve said. Run it on battery and just let it run all the way down. You know, right until the point where it shuts itself down, then plug it in and let it recharge. And you may need to do that a couple of times and see if that helps.
Okay, what about the if the battery needs replacing? What do people normally do in these type of machines?
Do you know the model number of your HP?
I'm looking at a lot of information here. I'm not sure what to look for.
Usually printed on the top case in one of the rear corners, or maybe the bottom of the edge of the display. There'll be a model name and number.
Yeah, like a Pavilion or...
Oh, yeah. It's an HP Pavilion. What, an Intel Core i5-6200U. I'm not sure what else to look for.
There's usually a number or something.
Tell you what. If you flip the laptop over on the bottom side of it,
okay.
Usually you'll see a black tag, and it'll say model number.
No, this doesn't have a model number on the black tag.
Well, there's
a product number.
Yeah,
or
product number.
HPs usually end in pound sign ABA, which is U.S. English. Yeah. That's
this
how they.
Is NGW 3165 NGW.
3165. Yeah. At any rate, the idea is what you might do is.
Well, you would for people that needed a replacement battery, they would take it to a shop and have it done. Or if you're adventurous, you would try to figure out how to do it yourself.
I don't think I want to be bothered with that.
But many places will be able to replace that battery for you. There are places in town that have replacement batteries. Certainly, Steve's shop does that as well. They may not carry that battery particularly in stock, but if you can call them with the real model number, they can order that for you. But in general, laptop batteries can be replaced. That really kind of almost looks like a Pavilion X360. But the idea is that you're right. It's not an easily removable part because it's not designed to be user replaced. But it can be replaced. You just need to take it to someone who is a reputable dealer who can actually do that.
When the instructions say get out the spudger, then you know there's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you know what a spudger is, then you can probably replace it yourself.
Right.
All right. Okay. Thanks for the information.
Yeah, you should be able to
get, like I say, look, flip that over again, though, sometime when you have more time, and look around there. Because usually HP is very good about putting a model number. You'll see a tag on there somewhere on the bottom. Usually it'll say model number, and that's what you can search on.
Or it may say product number.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I did. I just gave it to you. It's not a tag. It's like embedded into the...
Yeah, I believe the 3165 NGW is the HP Pavilion X360 notebook.
Right.
And it does. It does. Directly says use the spudger. So this is really something you want to take to somebody. But they can replace the battery, and they can do that. But the first thing to do, because it doesn't cost you anything but time, as Steve said, let it run down to zero.
Yeah.
And then charge it overnight. See what happens.
Okay.
And the other big thing though is, which wasn't asked, is now do you leave this usually plugged in all the time?
Yeah, I did ask that.
Oh,
no.
I didn't.
No, I don't. Usually just run it until it says you need to charge it, and then I plug it in.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So try that conditioning and see what happens.
So it's sort of a catch-22 with batteries. If you leave it plugged in all the time, they wear out. And if you leave it unplugged all the time and charge it every day, they wear out.
Yeah.
So generally speaking, most of the lithium batteries are rated for about 1,000 recharge cycles.
Right.
Which, in general, is about 3 years of charging it every day.
Yep. Right.
Okay.
So you're supposed to buy a new computer before you notice the battery's worn out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
You missed that step, Sherry.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Yep.
Bye.
Yeah, batteries are, you know, battery technology hasn't really kept pace.
No.
HP does have instructions on their website on how to replace the battery on the X300, and there's three warnings and two cautions.
Yeah.
before they get into actually showing you how to do it.
No.
It might be best to move it to let a technician do it for
you. Yeah, let somebody that knows what they're doing, because you don't want to go in there and start, one, getting shocked yourself. Because there are capacitors in there, and they hold a charge. And you can really get zapped good.
Yeah, you can.
If you also don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, also you want to bring it to somebody who, when it says grab your spludger, they just have one right there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a long involved process. So you know, if you're going to pay for it, if you're going to have it done by a professional, you're going to pay a little bit of money for it, but it will then give you that new battery. One of the things I try to look for when I buy a laptop is a user replaceable battery.
Mm-hmm.
Apple doesn't have them anymore. HP doesn't have it on a lot of their systems. And
they've given way to thin, and that sort of precludes having a battery attachment latch. Apparently
it does. I don't know why, but I've replaced on my other Chromebook. I replaced the hard drive. I took out the 16 gig hard drive and put in a 32 gig hard drive, and when I opened it, there was the hard drive, there was the battery, there was pretty much everything I needed.
Yep.
Right there in front of me, and I like that. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Mark from Greece, New York. Hi, Mark. What's up?
Hi. I just had a couple comments to make about a couple of the conversations you just had. As far as VoIP and stuff like that, one of the things you guys should look up is a device called an OBI 200. It's from a company called OBI that got recently bought out by Polycom.
Right.
And it allows you to connect to various VoIP services, a lot of service providers that people don't even know about. And you can get really good pricing and also a lot of different options as far as what type of phone service you can get. So that was something I was going to point in the direction of the caller previously who was looking for voice options.
Yeah,
that
was Walter. Thanks.
Yep. Yeah, good. You don't necessarily have to buy the handset from the same company that sells you the VoIP service, although most of them do sell handsets too.
Yeah, this is actually a device that basically you can hook up any telephone to, whether it's a wired telephone or whether it's a wireless phone. It doesn't really matter. That you can use your existing your wall phone and connect it to this device with the RJ45 or RJ11 jack.
Nice.
We used to do that with Magic Jack.
Yeah,
that was one
exactly.
of the early
but it's
ones.
Much better because Magic Jack has its own VoIP service that they lock you into, whereas this device you can connect to any VoIP service, whether it's Avio or CallCentric and stuff like that.
Okay, excellent.
What was
Thanks.
The name of that one again?
OBI 200.
The device is called an OBI 200. If you look on Amazon or Newegg, you'll find them there. And the company is OBI, and they have a neat portal where you can do configuration very easily online.
Cool. Thanks.
And the second thing is as far as the batteries you were talking about with the previous caller and her laptop battery. The thing that I don't think you guys talked about or maybe didn't realize is that a lot of the newer systems are coming out with programs that limit the amount of battery capacity that's going to be charged at a time to lengthen the life of the battery. If you take a battery and you charge it to 100% over and over and over again, you reduce the number of cycles that it can have.
That's a good point.
So her battery may be completely fine, but what will be happening is that there's a program that's limiting and shutting off the charging of the battery to like 90%, and therefore it's trying to condition the battery as far as to make it have more cycles of life. So there may be a program that HP installs, or maybe it's built into Windows 10 with one of their updates that, you know, is trying to basically tell you how to use your computer the way it wants to as opposed to the way you want to.
Well, trying to keep the battery life from counting too many cycles. I've seen that in other computers too. Thanks for reminding
exactly.
me.
And the thing about the 89% and stuff like that is that it doesn't matter because what happens with batteries is they lose capacity over time. So you can have a 70 milliamp battery hour battery versus a 50 or something like that. But to Windows, all it measures is the percent capacity, the percent charge based on its capacity, which decreases over time. So even if it was like half the capacity when you bought it new, it should still show 100% on the charge bar, not 89%.
Right, exactly.
So that does make sense that maybe it is the charging system trying to prevent it from overcharging or charging too fast or charging too much. Yeah,
good
but
thought.
I mean, I need to do anything with that other than realize that it's probably a background. So if she talks to her HP representative that she was talking to ask if there's a program that maybe got installed with an update that is limiting the charge from 100%.
Right. Good point. Thanks, Walter.
All right. Take care.
Thanks. Yep.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. See, that's what I love about this show when users call in with information.
That was Mark commenting on Walter.
Yeah, right. That was Mark. You're right. Mark commenting on Walter and commenting on Sherry. Yep. Sorry, Mark.
And I should have thought of that because the Mac does that at 95%.
Oh, there you go.
If you're above 95%, it won't charge, so it doesn't run into too many charging cycles. And it does a fast charge to 80%, and a lot of systems are like this now. It'll do a fast charge to 80% and then do a trickle charge the rest of the way so it doesn't overcharge it. Because we're always complaining about how long it takes to charge.
Right.
So you plug it in for an hour and then you've got like 90% charge.
Right, right. That's nice. Yeah, I've been, this machine I tend to keep plugged in all the time. I don't know why. I can unplug it now and let it just go. But yeah, all right, let me read a news article. I got a minute. We'll just chit-chat until that minute is done. We talked earlier about how batteries are not keeping up. They're not keeping up, and it's a problem that's never been solved.
Although compared to the lead-acid batteries in the first portables that would last for 5 minutes on today's computer.
Right, yeah. Right.
Even going to...
You ought to turn on your mic. That'll be easier for the other people to hear you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's a new thing we do.
Yeah. No, but we've discussed it before is, the batteries in the cell phones. They keep trying to make those thinner, and it's like, why? You need the longer life.
Right. Well, Energizer just came out with a phone that has this giant, thick battery in it. It lasts for days and days.
There you go. Well, you throw cases on them anyway, so why worried about a couple millimeters thicker?
That's right. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you, 29 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And do we have Gary from Rochester on the line?
Sure do.
Gary, you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes, you are. What can we do for you, Gary?
Well, I had a response to Linda's question, and I wanted to give you some feedback about some advice she gave me that really worked. And
oh, good.
It's always good to hear good news. And I'm in the process of replacing the computer, and I'm trying to I have a few questions about that.
Sure.
And I'll try to be succinct. In response to Linda's questions about a landline, there's another option that she has. If she gets a $20 a month landline, is what's called a PERS, a personal early response system, that if she's alone in a home and is afraid because of her age of falling or getting into some emergency, it is a service that you pay for monthly. And you've probably seen them advertised, and some are much better than others. But if you and your listeners know what it is, I won't go on with it. But essentially, it's a system where you can press a button, and then you get a call on your landline phone with a loud speaker that will hear you from 30 feet away. So if she fell and needed 911 or had some other medical emergency.
Yeah.
It's the old
mobilize it right away.
I've fallen and I can't get up commercials.
Yeah. She did say she's got something that has a GPS in it, so I'm Sure, it's some form of PERS that she's got.
But some of your older listeners, as Linda and I are, may not be that sophisticated and may just want the old-fashioned landline in their home. But that was just a throw-in.
It's a good thought. Thanks.
Okay. The second thing is I called a couple of weeks ago about having a hard time downloading LibreOffice.
Right.
And you and your colleagues came up with a suggestion of uninstalling Bitdefender, which I did, and the good news is LibreOffice did download.
Oh, good.
So I wanted to let you know. Another problem I was having was doing a full backup on a hard disk. It was a Seagate, and I just couldn't do it after a number of different things I tried, and after talking to you, I had someone come in who ran the management console and ran a disk check and found out that the disk on the computer is working fine, but the separate hard disk in the Seagate backup was corrupted. So that was the problem.
Good catch.
And, of course, it's still under warranty, and they will replace it.
Yeah, we always talk about making sure you have a backup, but sort of the thing we have to remember saying is make sure the backup works.
Yeah. Right.
You know, try to read it back a little bit to make sure that...
Right. It's and that's not why we always suggest more than one backup.
Yeah. It's not likely both drives will die at the same time, but it's possible.
Yeah, it's certainly possible. The other thing is I am in the process of getting a new computer and getting ready to get rid of this one, and I do have another clean hard drive to back up to, but I go to a certain, it'll go up to 75-80% with the Windows 7 backup and restore, even though this is a machine I upgraded to Windows 10. It, as you know, that's still the what you find on the control panel. And what I get a message that something on that it's write protected, and I think what that means is there's something I've downloaded on my computer that it's copyrighted that won't transfer over, and I wonder if it's one of the programs I've installed or there's something that I could uninstall so I can complete this backup.
Well, it's certainly possible that it's something that you installed that has locked your machine. But one thing I would start with is dancing the security tango and make sure that your machine is clean before you do a backup.
Yeah, but it doesn't have anything to do with copyright and copy protection. It is a folder is locked for writing, so you can't write data to that folder. So it's either write locked or read only, or write protected, so you can't write to it. Usually those are system folders that you're not supposed to change.
Right.
And what's odd is that the backup service should be reading those folders, not writing to them.
Hmm.
Well, but it's got to write it on the other machine. So if it copies a write protected folder and then tries to write into it on the new... drive, it may not work.
Does it tell you which folder?
No, that was my question, that if there'd be a way to find that.
There's probably a log. What is it, the Windows events? There's an event log.
Event log, yeah.
Hiding in there.
Okay, an event log.
There are also disk cloning software that you can buy. Things like HD, or and some of them are free. CloneZilla, Macrium Reflect, and a couple of others will allow you to, Acronis Disk Director is $50. CloneZilla is free.
And then Windows 10 has its own backup program called File History.
Right.
It's not called backup, so you never find it.
Right.
And that's in the Windows 10 Settings app, where the Windows 7 Backup and Restore is in the control panel. So explain that.
But both both CloneZilla and Macrium Reflect 7 are free.
Okay.
And will clone a hard drive from one machine to another machine.
Okay.
And that may be a little easier to use. You can both clones. I know CloneZilla does. Hold on a second. Yeah, I don't know if Macrium Reflect will run from a thumb drive, but I know that Clonezilla will. You can boot into it. It's a little clumsy to use, but if you're careful and just read through the various things, it should be easy to manage. And Clonezilla is free.
A lot of ideas. I think maybe reading into the event log and some of the simpler solutions you suggested, I'll try first.
Right.
Some of the others sounded kind of over my head. So I, just as you said about not mess around with the batteries, if you don't know what you're doing, don't go too far in your own computer.
No, that's exactly true. But, you know, if finding some way to back it up is probably a really good idea.
Oh, it really is, before I switch over.
Exactly.
I'm buying a similar sort of machine. And, I mean, there would be a way. I'm buying it from a reputable dealer, and they probably could get the data off it. But, as you know, it's much more expensive.
Right.
To go redo a hard disk.
And the very annoying thing is that Microsoft used to include a program. It used to be called the File Settings and Transfer Wizard, and then it was called Windows Easy Transfer. They have discontinued that, and now they tell you to buy a program like PC Mover Express.
Right.
So you can copy all the data from your old computer to your new computer. Yet another reason people don't upgrade to a new computer, because how do I get all my data over?
Right.
Yeah, that's... Who does that remind me of? Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you again.
Oh, absolutely our pleasure.
Okay. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Gary. You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, it's... you're absolutely right. When they make it harder to transfer to a new machine, they get surprised that people don't transfer to a machine. Pay attention.
I think what I did is I found the program still on a Windows 7 machine, and it ran okay on Windows 10.
Yeah.
Because Windows 10 is pretty much Windows 7, yeah.
But yeah, it's very hard to move to a new machine and make sure you get everything. So...
pain in the butt.
Yeah, it's very hard.
And it surprises me a little bit that Windows or Microsoft would make you do that. But I'm so used to, on the Apple side, Apple has a migration assistant built in. You turn on your new computer and it says, do you want to copy your old files? And you say, okay.
Yeah,
right.
From an old Mac or even an old Windows machine.
Well, that's one thing that used to always get folks. They'd sit there and say, well, yeah, just move everything over. No, you can't. I can move your data. I can move your pictures. I can move your iTunes and everything else.
Yep.
Applications have to be reinstalled and re-registered in the registry. You just can't copy them over. Well, why not? Because it doesn't work that way.
Yeah,
right.
Because of the Windows registry.
Yeah. It's.
If stuck. You copy the program, Windows won't know it's there. It has to be installed in the registry.
Somebody's your name.
Which is another issue trying to copy your applications. That's
right.
That's why the original program was always called the File Settings and Transfer Wizard. It was your file settings and files and settings. It wasn't your applications.
Right. And Linux has a way of making a list of all the software you've got installed on the old machine. Transfer that list over to a new machine and say, all these. I want all these.
Now, on the Mac side, if all your software has been purchased from the App Store, then it does do it for you. Third-party programs that will, like Microsoft Office is probably the most notorious one, it will copy the program files, but it doesn't copy the license keys.
Right.
So then you have to go find your license key again.
Right. Well, and of course on Linux, since everything is free to begin with, it's not a big deal. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Bob from Irondequoit, New York. Hiya, Bob. What's up?
Hello, gentlemen. I took your advice a couple weeks ago and got LastPass installed finally.
Yeah.
And just curious, on my desktop at home, there is a spot where you could check, and do you want to save your master password? Is that a good or a bad idea?
It depends on what's asking. If it's a Windows-owned system, they do encrypt that. So you're pretty – is it Windows 10 or 7?
10.
Then you're pretty safe. So that's not necessarily a bad idea. I don't do it because it's just that one extra little lever,
right.
level of protection.
Right. Right.
But it,
you
it,
mean you have to remember your master password?
I actually have to remember a password. I know. But the reality is that that little bit of extra protection makes me happy.
So same story for the Chromebooks.
Yeah, yeah. I don't save my master password on any of them, and just let the master pass, and I type the master password in each time, and it's not an easy password to type, and I don't care because that LastPass database is the golden treasure, right?
Right.
So I try to make sure that it is not accessible to the average bear.
And one of the features of LastPass is that if you put your database on a shared volume, I think they have instructions for Dropbox and Box.com, mm-hmm. and then they offer their own service as well, then you can get those same passwords on your other devices.
Right.
And with LastPass especially, they encrypt the data before they save it on that public volume. So just in case there's a problem with the public volume, your passwords are safe.
Beautiful. Well, it was such good advice, and it was so simple to install. I can't thank you fellows enough.
Good.
All right. Well, thank you again. Have a good day.
All right. Have fun.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool program. LastPass is one of the password vaults. LastPass, EndPass, there's a dozen of them. And the idea is that you can now keep all of your passwords in that. And then you only have to remember the master password for LastPass or EndPass. And then when you open it up, all that stuff is there. And what's nice about them is that they also have a note section. So you can also add in the security questions and the lying answer you gave. Remember, we keep talking about lie in the security questions. What's the name of your first dog? Purple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what was the color of your first car? Jumbo jet. I don't care. Whatever. Yeah. Lie.
Whatever makes sense for you that you can remember. That doesn't care if you put down, like you say, my favorite color. Jumbo jet.
Right.
Yep. It doesn't know whether Jumbo jet is a color or not.
My mother's maiden name, 3.
Yeah.
Who cares? It doesn't care. It's just collecting characters and saving them in a file. So if you lie, then you either have to remember the lie, which is hard, or you write it in EndPass or LastPass or whichever one of those password vaults that you're using, and then when it comes back and says, "Oh, I need to know your mother's maiden name," you can go in and say, "Oh, yeah, it's 3."
Yep. Well, and most of the password managers like LastPass and Keychain on the Apple side will also generate passwords for you. So that's the other complaint we hear: "Oh, I don't know how to make a new password. I can't make a new password." So it will generate, you know, a 20-character random password you have no hope of remembering, and then save it in the vault so you don't have to remember it.
And one other thing that you can do with all of these is copy and paste.
Yep.
So when you then go to that site that's got a 20-character password, you open up LastPass, you copy the password, you paste it into the website, and you're done.
And many LastPass often has a plugin where it will paste it for you.
Right. Yeah.
Yep.
Right. Many of them do. And so there's really no longer an excuse for not having unique passwords everywhere, complex passwords everywhere that are long, upper and lower case, numbers, punctuation, whatever, all that stuff, and being able to remember it, because now you don't have to remember it. You have to remember one password.
And many of the password managers will also warn you if you use the same password on multiple sites.
Right.
And several of them are now using the Have I Been Pwned database and will warn you if one of your accounts was breached at the other end and tell you to change that password.
Right.
So it's often never your problem. You know, you didn't lose your password. The other end got breached.
Right.
And so now that password is now public.
Right.
Millions of passwords have been made public through different breaches, and if yours is one of them, that's really bad. Hundreds of millions, half a billion public passwords now.
Half a billion public passwords, and you think to yourself, "Well, I have no hope. Well, that's why many of the password vaults nowadays actually talk right to the Have You Been Pwned database. So if you bring up if you put in a password that's already in that database, it'll come back and tell you that.
Yep. And they actually, at Have I Been Pwned, have a section where you can try old passwords to see if they've been pwned or not. So the password has been seen in 3.6 million password leaks.
Yeah.
People are using password as their password 3.6 million times.
Password with a zero.
Yeah, let's try that
you
one.
You know, password with dollar signs. It doesn't matter.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Dollar, W, zero, but RD.
That's the combination I have in my luggage. sorry.
I'm just thinking what the next line is.
Yeah, so was I, and I can't go there. So here's the deal. If you're not using something like LastPass or EndPass or any one of the password vault programs, start doing it. It as you create passwords, as you add passwords, as you go to websites, you can put them into LastPass or whichever one you happen to be using, and you will find that you now, and they all work on your phone, on your tablet, on your laptop, and your desktop. And so when you're using it, you can use ones that have those common databases, right? So I happen to use EndPass, which, you know, lets me save my database fully encrypted to Google Drive, which means that on all my devices, I can get that password manager database to work everywhere. And so I'm never without all my passwords. And it's easy and convenient and fast and yada, yada, yada. And it's real easy to do. You want to be safe and you want to be secure, but you also want to be easy. And that's what a password vault lets you do. It lets you maintain your safety and your security in an easy and convenient package. So if you're not using one, start using one. Is that music? Am I hearing music? No. Okay.
You may be, but it's not Dave.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, I agree with that. I'll accept that as an answer. If you're not using a password manager, please start using one and make sure that you understand that your security doesn't have to be impossible. All right, now that music tells me that we're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright. I want to thank Steve Ray. I want to thank everybody who called in. I apologize to those to whom we did not get. We got a call earlier. We can't take calls at the last moment, and I apologize for that. But don't go away, because George is coming in to play the best German music you'll hear all week. Michael's here to keep him on the straight and narrow, so you're fairly safe. And we'll be back next week. We're grateful to all of you for your generosity in keeping this station and us on the air. We're coming up on a fun drive again soon, and we hope that you'll all again continue to be generous. We'll see you next week with a whole lot more of Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. We'll see you in 166 hours.